Let's turn in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28. That's the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, in which we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 20. And beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. And so let's listen to Him. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Those are God's words. And here in this chapter, on the first day of the week, after Jesus had died on the cross, the ladies who saw Christ buried in the tomb, as we heard last Lord's Day in chapter 27, are here present right after the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily from the dead. There, they were to go and they're called here to tell the disciples what they saw and what they heard, that Christ had risen from the dead just as he promised. In verses 9 through 10, Christ appeared to the ladies. But then verses 11 through 15, we see the soldiers who were to be guarding the tomb reported what had happened, and they were told to be quiet with lies, and the elders and the chief priests gave them lots of money, we see, to be quiet and lie. And then the remaining verses, we see Jesus appearing to the disciples, in which upon the resurrection, he gives them the Great Commission. Verse 18, we often read this, but we need to read it again. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Those words are some of the most comforting words that we find in all of Scripture, but also words from the Savior, our Savior, for that duty which the church has now to bring about the fulfillment of the Lord's promises, to bring all the elect in, as we just heard and prayed about. The fullness of the Jews and the Gentiles to come in, all the elect to come in which we must long for, but also pray for and work towards. But here is the very center of the gospel, found in the resurrection, as 1 Corinthians 15 teaches us, and his death and resurrection. Here is Satan defeated, the great dragon fallen. Christ died on the cross for the sins of his people, and he rose bodily from the dead to secure the justification of all who come to him alone by faith. And that is where our comfort is found. And then he gives you extra comfort, and he says in verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he sits on the throne and he reigns over all the church and all nations and all creation. The whole universe he reigns over. And so we can be confident, but also comforted in all that we do, that he will bring about his promises for us, the church, and for our good, but also for his glory. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful as we have come this evening to worship you, the living and true God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you are the God who, as we heard this morning, as we read about the sacrifice of Abraham's being commanded to sacrifice his son, his only son, that you gave your only begotten son and gave him up, did not just let him go, but you delivered him over to death. Father, what a great Father we have in you, and what a great Savior we have in Jesus Christ. And what a great comforter and guide we have in the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would make this gospel, that Christ, having lived a perfect, righteous life, having died on the cross, who rose from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures, make that the center and focus of our lives. Make that everything to us. And that all other things would be diminished in our sight compared to you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you this day, that this is the Lord's Day, the day of rest, a day in which mercy is new to us, not only in the morning, but every morning. And especially this day, the day that you love when your people dwell and come together and worship you more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. And Father, we pray that in our hearts, not just our bodies, but in our hearts, we would rest in you. We would put all of our hope in you and all of our comfort in you, knowing that Christ reigns on the throne. And then Father, we lift up our requests to you as we long for all of your glory, and that you would be exalted in all things. Father, we ask for your help. We ask for your help in providing for those congregations of our presbytery and our presbytery that have no minister, no consistent preaching ministry. We pray for them that you would uphold them in this time. We pray for Denison and Columbia, And even that work in Oklahoma City and San Antonio. We're thankful that there is a minister there, but we know they're seeking to call a minister. Father, we pray that you would provide one. Pray for the Houston worship service that's happening right now. And their first one, we're thankful for this, in which we give you all praise for the beginnings, Lord willing, the beginnings of a new church. And we ask for your blessing upon them, that you would call many to join with her, and that you would raise up a pastor, church planner for them. And we ask for your help. We also pray for the Westminster congregation in Denver, that you would uphold them as today was their pastor's last Lord's Day ministering to them. And we pray that you would provide another minister quickly, that they would have, again, that consistent pastoral ministry to them, and that you would raise up for them a faithful man, as we pray for all these other congregations as well. Father, we're thankful for the representatives here from the Lawrence congregation. We pray for them that you would uphold them and grant to them their desires, that even in the by the beginning of the coming year, that all the things and events they were doing that would return to normal, and that you would bring about a great evangelism ministry for them in the coming year. We know, even we pray for ourselves the same thing, because this year has held us back into going door to door and doing other things. We pray that you would bring that back for us. We pray further that you would grow us to an extent. And we know that we have our financial report this evening, and we know that we have often and for a long time ran at a deficit, and yet you've always provided for us. But Father, we desire to plant another church ourselves. And so, Father, we pray that you would bring that about at your timing. And we know you will, because you desire all nations to come unto you. More churches will be planted. More of the gospel will go forth. And so we look in hope to the promises, knowing you will bring this about according to your plan, especially as we trust in Christ, your Son, who sits on the throne, who has all authority over heaven and earth. And so there's nothing to hold you back from this. And you say you want the gospel, and that you promise that the gospel will go to all nations. All nations will come unto you. Kings will bring gifts to you in Christ. Well, Father, bring this about then. Bring it about through us, if it be your will. Even as we are weak instruments of yours, use us for the kingdom and reform us, but also revive us in our hearts, that we would have a love for the gospel, but we would not just love the gospel, but that we would go forth and tell people the gospel and proclaim it to all the ends of the earth. That from amongst us you would raise up elders and deacons and ministers and missionaries, etc., Father. And then, so in this we pray that you would bless our congregation, all the congregations of our Presbyterian denomination. We pray, as we think of some of the news this past week of whatever kind of peace deal there was between Sudan and Israel, Father, we pray that whatever that has brought about, that it might benefit your children in South Sudan and all the missionaries that we've sent there and your children who are there, Father, that you would keep them from persecution. Because there is great persecution from Sudan coming into South Sudan. And so, Father, protect your people and protect your elect, and bring about, perhaps even through these means, the gospel to go to Sudan, to the north, and that many of those Muslims would turn unto Christ Jesus, your Son. Father, we do ask also that you would be praised for the marriage of Reed Staver this yesterday to his wife. We pray that you would give them a long, healthy marriage, and that it would be a blessing to your church. We pray that you would give Reed and his wife wisdom about in the coming months moving and where to move, that they would have a good job provided for Reed and a good church, and we're thankful that his desire to be part of and continue to be part of our denomination. And so we pray for those churches in Michigan in which you do have churches amongst our denomination, that you would provide a place for them. And pray for the Stavers as they travel home soon, and that you would grant them safety. Father, again, we are thankful for your word. We ask that you would build up your church, and that our goal would be not only to glorify you, but to make disciples of all nations. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.